This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and for readers to enjoy a good book. This is going to be a fun day today. I have in the studio with me two guests, Miriam Goodspeed and Ingrid Valliere, to talk about a book that they've written together called Mirrors Within Mirrors, Unforgettable Adventures in Past Lives. Hi, Ingrid.
Hello, good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. And Miriam, hi.
Hey there.
Wow, this is really an intriguing book, and I know Ingrid has been described as a reincarnation expert. And let's talk about how this book came about. I know that, Ingrid, you have written other books before, but this new book called, which is called Mirrors Within Mirrors, is about past lives. And you're a past life therapist.
Exactly, Patsy. Thank you for having me. It's fun to be here. And I have been working as a past life therapist for almost 40 years now. I have a practice in Germany. I do travel. I give seminars pretty much all over the world. And I have known Miriam from the Florida Film Network since a long time. And she once came up with the idea, why don't we write a book together? She would like to write about me and my work. So that's how Mirrors Within Mirrors came about. And it is a mix of my biography, but also the most intriguing insights of past life work and some interesting case histories.
And Miriam, so you got together and you've been working on this book. You'd been working on it for how long?
I believe 24 years.
24 years. Okay, yes. Well.
Long time.
That is a long time, but it's a very fascinating book. And it's about, I know you talk about life, is about the evolution of the soul. And tell us, Ingrid, about exactly what does that mean?
Okay. Well, there are two aspects to reincarnation. One is the philosophy about it. The philosophy which could be taken as a religious aspect, that people are not just a body, but they're also a soul. And the concept of a soul being eternal, and maybe the concept of reincarnation is that the soul will incarnate over and over to evolve. There is a purpose for incarnation, and that is to become more and more perfect, to broaden one's awareness. And probably just to become a really harmonious soul. And apparently that needs some practice. So we do incarnate over and over to gather experience, to make up for some mistakes we've done, to broaden our awareness. So that's that side of it. Now, the practical side of it is in everyday life. And that is very similar to any other kind of therapy or psychotherapy. We do have fears. We do encounter patterns in our lives. We do have some behaviors that we are not fully aware and we would like to change and we don't really know how to. We have relationships that sometimes are a little strange, or we are wondering how they are, why we can't get in a harmonious state with them. So all these questions about daily life are also dealt with in a regression therapy.
Now, Miriam, when you first met Ingrid and she talked about reincarnation, was that something foreign to you, or had you ever thought about reincarnation before you met Ingrid?
No, I've thought about it all my life.
Yes?
Of course.
Was something that interested you right away?
It makes a lot of sense.
And now, Ingrid, you started this journey when you were very young. You started at a very young age. When did it sort of first, you were born in Germany, right?
Yes.
And in Stuttgart?
Yes.
And so as a child, when did the idea of reincarnation come to you? Was it an early vision to you?
Very early. I think I was probably below five when I knew I had to find a solution or the answer to some questions in this life. I was very motivated to meet my life's goal and to find the answer to some philosophical questions. I know that sounds a little theoretical. But then when I was 10 years old, I bought my first book on yoga. And I did it on my own volition because my parents are not connected to any of that kind of thought. So I started to practice my own yoga exercises at the age of 10. Then when I was 13, 14, I would visit lectures on these subjects. And so slowly I grew into it. And then I went to India, which confirmed a lot of my ideas, of course. And I'm very open to all religious thoughts, really.
Well, at that early age, were you already thinking about reincarnation as an idea?
Yes. I actually felt, and many children, by the way, feel the same way, that I've been here before and that I've been here many times. That just seemed a logical thought that emerged inside of me and got confirmation when I found out that there is such a subject and such a philosophy also.
And so you took off for India at a very young age. How old were you?
That was what Miriam was always intrigued. She hardly could believe it, and she interviewed my mother at one point, if that was really true. I was 16. I turned 17. In my 17th birthday, I started in Benares, Varanasi, these days in India. I just had to find out about who's behind it and where all these exciting places and all these gurus that are in India. So I did engage in my first trip to India at the age of 16.
Had you already experienced a past life? I mean, did you have a vision of a past life for yourself at that point?
I had inklings. I was aware of the fact that the countries that I was interested in seemed to be the countries that I had lived in myself. I had a very familiar feeling in India. I felt very drawn to Asia in general, and I just knew that there's something there that I have to find again.
Because Stuttgart is not a very Indian, especially in those days, wasn't influenced very, very much by the East at all.
No,
so it's
that's
a completely unexpected. I would think your mother was very surprised.
Yeah, that's true. She was surprised. But luckily, my parents let me do my thing, and they didn't stop me from doing it. And that's how I was very lucky that I could engage in this trip. Because most people usually only start with this trip when they're in their 30s or 40s.
Exactly, like the Beatles. So, Miriam, had you ever experienced a past life? I mean, did you ever have a vision of who you were in another life?
I have a very vivid imagination, and yeah, I really do, but my first husband told me that he wouldn't believe anything I said because I had too good an imagination. So, but I really think that I do remember things, and I have a son who does remember dying in the Civil War, so.
So, okay, I sort of, when I was young, I imagined that I was a princess, but I'm not sure that I yet experienced a past life. Are you able to help people find past lives? Is that part of what you do? Or
that's the main thing I do.
That's the main thing
you
do. That's
the main thing. But the purpose of the past life, of course, is the result. Yes, we do find the past lives that go along with the questions people have. Maybe they want to solve a problem, or they want to know where certain desires or certain topics stem from. But the real purpose is to go through the past life and to have a good result.
And how do you go about doing that? I mean, it's not hypnotism it's just you talk people through it?
The thing is that the subconscious is not as hidden as we sometimes think. If you ask the right question, and sometimes without asking any question, somebody may burst into tears, somebody may become very afraid all of a sudden, and you don't need therapy to engage or to trigger certain things. Now, if you have the right question and technique, those issues, those memories come up pretty easily. So I don't use hypnotism. I use very direct questions, and usually doesn't take long to waken up, because the past lives are already there. They're already there before I come along, and I just steer the person toward them, and usually the people are surprised. It's faster than they
facilitate.
Really thought.
Facilitate the trip.
That's a good word, yeah.
Into the past.
Right.
Now, of course, as you said, when you were 17, you took off for Bombay, which of course is now Mumbai, but that was, you know, quite a few years ago, and it was, I'm sure it was very unusual for a German girl to turn up in Bombay by, well, you weren't by yourself, you were with a friend.
I was with a friend. But it was an era when the hippie movement also just started or was going on. So in India, it was not that unusual to see foreigners, which I think was a blessing for me because you were not looked upon as a weird person. They had seen foreigners before. So I think that was easy to get around. But there were foreigners in India because of the hippie movement.
So you started your journey through India and I understand at one point you met a Swami that facilitated you, your journey.
That's true. And I was never dependent on any guru. I was not looking for anybody who was going to teach me all the time and make me dependent. Like I have met other people that were very much in a dependency of a guru. I didn't want that. So the Swami I met, he was from Kashmir. He was very open-minded. He showed me some meditation techniques. I would meet him from time to time. So a kind of a mentoring through some of the practicals.
Now, what was the sort of first complete past life that you discovered? I mean, you've had quite a few past lives that over the years that you've discovered within yourself.
Well, I always had an inkling that I had something to do with martial arts because as a child already, I noticed martial arts on the TV and I was very intrigued by it. So beside yoga, martial arts were the first things that I took up personally. And in the martial arts classes, I always felt that I felt this was so ridiculous, the way the people would behave themselves. For me, it was a very serious matter. So there I already felt that I must have been a warrior at some point because I took it very seriously, whereas others, they just were joking around.
Yeah. So
that was an inkling I had, which was confirmed in the regressions later.
Okay, so the first past life that you discovered, who were you?
Actually, I don't even remember my first past life because I had so many of them. But let's say maybe some of the most important ones. I did discover a lifetime as a Spanish woman who was very poor and was very dependent of her husband. And the everyday life was very hard. And I was always in a bad mood and giving my husband a hard time. That was a lifetime of hardship.
And that would have been at what era?
At about, I would say, 14th, 15th century. Yeah,
And when you experienced it, is it like, do you feel like a rush of it, or it just sort of gently rolls into your head, or what? How does it happen?
That can be very different. First of all, with one person, one client, the same person may react differently in different regressions, depending on the topic of the regression. Some regressions may hit you, you know, all of a sudden you feel something. In some other regressions, you may enroll gently. You it's like a puzzle. You add piece to piece until it is complete. But what almost always happens pretty quickly is that there's a feeling for that role. You feel differently. Sometimes you talk a little bit differently. Sometimes you have a different voice. So there is something different about the awareness that's going on in a past life. And even people who are skeptical may feel that. Very few people are just very analytical in a past life regression. Something always turns itself on. And some past lives can be very intense, like you may be very angry, some people may shout or may cry, and they've totally forgotten about present time, although no hypnotic induction was used. So past lives have a very individual way of showing themselves.
Well, like when you felt this Spanish life that had been in you at some point, it wasn't a pleasant feeling because she was...
Yes, it was hardship every day and how to make ends meet, and there was never enough. So, yeah, and that kind of feeling of scarcity, of lack, of being in a tough situation, yeah, that feeling comes on. It came on to me during the regression.
But do they come back? I mean, like when you have a vision once, does it come back again? And can you go back into it, for example, to see what happens?
Well, we try to go through the regression as thoroughly as we can. So there's really no need to go back into it later. Now, if somebody wants to explore some more, that's always advisable, and we can't really stop the memory. But sometimes a feeling may reproduce itself, or when we have it the next time, we can locate it and say, oh, gee, that's similar to the one I had in a past life. So it makes it easier to recognize them. But they will dissolve eventually. They don't stick once you have found the source of them.
Wow, this is fascinating. I have to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I want to talk more about your past lives. And then after that, we're going to talk to Miriam about some of her projects, because she also has some interesting things going on in her life. So we'll be back soon.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Looking for a good book? Whether you want the latest bestseller or a rare book, Haslam's Bookstore at 2025 Central Avenue in downtown St. Petersburg is the place to visit. Haslam's has been in business for over 70 years and is the largest new and used bookstore in Florida. With 30,000 square feet and over 300,000 books, you'll find just the right book for you. Bestsellers, cookbooks, military, history, and so much more. Check out their website, www.haslams.com, to find out about their special events. On January 30th, when best-selling author Tim Dorsey will be signing autographs of his latest adventure, Coconut Cowboy. Remember, Haslam's, one of Florida's true treasures, 2025 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg. And they're open on Sundays from noon to 5.
Show me the money.
It's the Employment Opportunity Hour with Gene Hodge, every Thursday night from 7 until 8.
So the purpose of the show is to help you out there to find something that you enjoy doing instead of a job. And at the start of the show, I normally give out a formula, which I know will guarantee you to find the type of job that you want right now.
Find out the formula to an enjoyable job with Gene Hodges' Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday night from 7 until 8 here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with the Z, and I'm back with my guests, Miriam Goodspeed and Ingrid Valliere. Ingrid has written a fascinating book called Mirrors Within Mirrors, The Unforgettable Adventures into Past Lives. It's available on Amazon and online in many places. It's a fascinating book. And she also conducts past life workshops. And she's been doing that for many years now. And originally from Germany, I know that Ingrid's going to be having a past life workshop coming up on January 24th in Tarpon Springs. And she's going to be talking about some of her past lives and how she also helps people to discover their past lives. She was mentioning that she can even, sometimes she's worked with people who want to find their parents, adopted children who want to have sort of a look back and see if they can relate to their parents. So it's fascinating, Ingrid. Thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you very much. I just want to say that Miriam Goodspeed is the author of the book, and I'm just the co-author. We just want to get that.
Well, I know. Yes, I'm sorry. Miriam is the author, and she's worked with you for many years.
That's
to,
right.
To take your stories.
She has interviewed and put everything in writing.
Yeah, she's so. Not just interviewed you, but also even your mother should, to find
Absolutely.
Out about this fascinating world that you entered into as a very young girl. Tell us, I know that, of course, we talked a little bit about India, and in India, you had a past life in India that sort of...
I'm sure I had several past lives in India, but in India, it just came back to me. I think every country or every place or every temple or every city has an energy of its own, and if you have a past life in a certain place, it'll come up to you. I mean, you will feel a certain way in a country or in a place. You may feel very familiar, or you may not feel at ease in a certain place. So India, I was just elevated, I could say. I all these past lives about philosophy and monks, being a monk, being a nun, having dedicated my life to studying philosophy, all that came back in India, but also later in Japan, because those are very spiritual places.
So after India, you did travel to the other countries, including, we'll talk about Japan and Korea. So tell us about Japan. What did you discover in Japan? Japan's such a lovely country and so many amazing things to see. And so this was after you had... returned to Germany, and you were still thinking about this whole world of past lives and how you were going to use it to not just help yourself, but to help other people understand themselves.
Well, actually, that came a few years later.
Uh-huh.
And at that age, after I came back from my first Indian trip, I just had that idea in mind. I have to go back again, and then I would prolong my trip also to other countries like Thailand and Japan and Korea. So I did that a couple of years later. And a few years after that, then I encountered past life therapy. So when I came to Japan, I already, of course, I was intrigued by all Asian countries, to be honest. But Japan had a very special meaning to me. I felt very much at home there, and the people would recognize me. And sometimes when you have a past life in a country and you step into that country, it's like they welcome you, they take you as their own. And in a few months, I already learned how to speak Japanese. And when I returned from my trip within Japan back to Tokyo, and I met some of my Japanese acquaintances again, they couldn't believe that I was speaking Japanese in just such a few months. So in Japan, again, I had flashbacks and memories of lifetimes I lived there. Especially, I was intrigued with temples. All the time, I'm very intrigued with temples. But, of course, I was not always in a temple. I had very worldly lifetimes also. But it's just the fact that in those lifetimes, when you have a lot of a mission to do, or when you're on a spiritual quest, they seem to be more intense than other lifetimes when you have chores and you have to work. And so they stick in a way, they stick more intensely.
So did you have a past life in Japan?
Oh, several. Oh, yes, several, yes.
And what were some of them?
Well, definitely the warrior samurai type thing. I've had several lifetimes of those. And then I was always wondering, whenever I appeared as a Western lady in the East, the Eastern men would often make me very expensive gifts, although I hadn't even known them. I remember I was standing at a light in Korea, and I was on my way back to the airport, and there was a man walking up to me, and he asked me a few things, and I said, well, I have to go to the airport, and he said, wait here. And I was waiting at that light, and he came back with a big doll encased in a glass casing, and he gave me this very precious gift just like that in the street. And that happened to me several times. I've got a golden chain from a Japanese man, and I just met him once. So I found later that I also had been, a Japanese in high standing, a lady in high standing that was close to a very powerful person, and they couldn't get to that powerful person except through me. So they had to pay me off, something like that. They had to pay me, they had to be treating me well. And that was a very interesting life, and I had a lot of power. And it seemed to still reflect, because I surely didn't ask for any of it, but it just seemed to see me still as a powerful person whom you have to give gifts to. I thought that was quite interesting.
Also, of course, it helps that you're tall and beautiful and blonde. But I'm sure.
Thank you.
Was part of it. But when, for example, like if you were, when you felt that you were this high-powered woman in Japan in a different century, it sounds like so much fun. Can you go back to that? I mean, it doesn't just happen to you one sort of quick vision. Can you go back and live it a little bit?
Because
that sounds like fun.
Well, especially, I mean, there are regressions that are lengthier because a lifetime contains so many vital data. You go through them, you need more time to go through them. And I recommend also that people write their story or write even a little book about that lifetime, because they're so interesting. And in the session, we concentrate on the most important data. We don't want to go into every little detail. It would take too long. But once you've been through it in the session, then you can write about it and you can explore it more. I've seen books in America where somebody has written a full book of a novel about one regression. So you can really make something of it, and it's therapeutic and it's interesting. Yes, you can go back and you can look more at details, which is an additional item that you can benefit from.
Well, you know, you mentioned being a samurai. Have you ever experienced death in one of these regressions? Because
we
samurais, they had some. I was just watching a television program, and wow, I mean, their fighting was so incredibly vicious, and the idea of going, I mean, being able to feel that pain, that somebody who was a samurai and die and being killed. So did you experience that, or you just...
Well, see, those lifetimes, they have a different attitude toward death, as you probably also know. They don't look at it as pain. It is very important that you have an honorable death. And even that movie, The Last Samurai, showed that very well. The death is not a problem. It's how you die. So the fear of death is not the thing, but how you defend yourself and if you've done honorable deeds. And it is a mix of this honor type thing, that you gear your deeds toward a useful mission and still have a code of ethics. But on the other hand, looking back at it now, I just think it's also a lot of manipulation, because always the fighting and the killing, I think there's just too much killings going on in our history.
Yeah, well, I think
general.
It would be a little bit frightening to go back and feel yourself being killed. Now, Miriam, you mentioned that your son has experienced a past life as in the Civil War, the American Civil War.
And he was 6 years old at the time, and he had never heard of the Civil War. And we were on a trip going north, and we stopped at all the battlefields. And he paid absolutely no attention to any of them until we were at this one, and I don't remember the name of the battlefield, but there's a hill that goes up to a red brick building. And he got very quiet, and I said, "Honey, what's the matter?" And he said, "Mommy, I died here." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I went up that hill with my gun, and they shot me."
Oh, wow.
So, and he still remembers it. He's gotten a lot older.
but the feelings mm-hmm. stayed with him.
Oh, absolutely. It has stayed with him all of his life. But I'll have to admit that Ingrid did regress me along with a group of other people one time, and it's very strange, because what happens is she talks in a very low tone, and all of a sudden you remember something, and it's so vivid in your mind. And in mine, I was a Viking, and I was with a group of men who raided monasteries and other places, and I guess both in England, and we would get all of the gold and silver and everything. And one time I killed this little short man who was called himself a saint, and the other people in my raiding party didn't like it, and they stabbed me in the back, and that's how I died. It was so weird. I'd never even thought of anything like that before.
Wow.
Well, so, and that's more even that's, impressive yeah. because some things you feel before, like, mm-hmm. like okay, my attitude to Asia was already there. I was not surprised to find lifetimes in Asia. Mm-hmm. But then some things come up and people say, I had never dreamed that I had such an experience. That is totally new to me. Or I was never interested in any of that, but it suddenly came up. So some of it seems to blend in what you kind of can expect, but then some things are really totally out. But they're equal. Their importance is equal. You know, the things you expect the least sometimes are even the most important.
So after Japan, you had also gone to Korea, and particularly there, of course, the martial arts are very important in Korea. And so you studied martial arts yourself.
Yes, I did. Actually, I'm still in martial arts now. I never left that.
You never left it. It's
always been with me. And right now, I'm not fighting or anything. I just do it for health reasons. But I still like it, and I think it's more interesting than just doing some jogging or something. I think the sparring with a partner is always more interesting than just, you know, going doing your own thing in a gym. I think that's a little boring.
Well, no, I do kickboxing.
Okay.
And I love kickboxing.
Oh, see.
I agree that there's nothing quite the same as. I'm also not a jogger. I like that interaction. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And sort of the power involved too in it. So maybe I was a boxer in one of my past lives, because I really, the funny thing is on that, it's true. The first time I put on boxing gloves, I felt like I belonged with those boxing gloves. It just was a fantastic feeling. And when I put on boxing gloves still, I just...
It's like a different world, oh, right?
It is.
A different energy coming
through.
It
is. Absolutely. And nobody expected when I started kickboxing. It was not something I had done before or ever even thought about. But once I did it, I couldn't believe that I hadn't been doing it all of my life because there is something. So
that's a typical reaction to when we find something. Miriam, you once said, somebody, was it your husband or somebody, said, where have you been all my life? Oh, there you are, something. It's like, yeah. Oh, now I found it again, or I found you again. It is true. We recognize and think, where has this been all my life? I knew it was always there somewhere, but now I'm finding it again. So, yes, it's like a recognition, a memory. And something's coming through, which has been there all this time.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Like
I have to start doing some research and seeing who I might have been. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that until we're sitting here talking.
I would like to assist you in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I perhaps I'm going to have to come up to your workshop, which is going to be Sunday, January 24th up in Tarpon Springs. And when you're there, I know it's you deal with the sort of the workings of the subconscious mind, and you also help sort of, I know you mentioned that there's a prenatal and birth blueprint kind of thing for current life. So what does that involve? What does your workshop involve?
The workshop involves understanding the subconscious better. Everybody knows more or less that there is a subconscious, but how does it really work and how does it affect me? So in this lifetime, we have certain incidents that are important. Now, prenatal and birth, nobody will debate that we had a prenatal and a birth. But even during that time, many things happen that will form our character later on, like somebody who has had a very difficult birth process, a very lengthy one, and maybe even had trouble breathing or suffocation. In lifetime, that person may also sometimes feel that he's not going to make it or he's tired. So a lot of those issues will also come up in this life. So it's not only the reincarnation therapy, but regression therapy in this life and into prenatal and birth. And I highly recommend to everybody to get their birth and prenatal regression done. I think that's just so vital. And people have been 50 or 60 years old, but when you go to the prenatal, they say, gee, that has followed me to this day, you know, or the stress feeling. Sometimes there was somebody who's putting pressure on mother. Well, if you have to push, and if you don't push, your baby's going to die, or something's going to go wrong. And all that stress is now absorbed by the subconscious of the baby. So every time there's a little stress in the life of the baby, they get so anxious and may even have some nervous condition. And when you go through the birth process, a lot of symptoms ease out. So I recommend that highly with whatever method. There's breath work, and there are other techniques also to get that done.
So, well, it sounds fascinating. And Miriam, when you were writing the book, as you mentioned, you've done it over the years, taking each of these stories and putting it together in a very fascinating way. And, you know, how did you feel? What was your feeling when you were writing the book?
I found it very interesting. And as I said, I would interview Ingrid when she would come on vacation, and I would have get several chapters written. And then she would come back again, and about 2 years ago, she said, well, why don't we go ahead and publish it?
Good idea. It's about about time to get it out there and for people to read it. And
that's right.
It's a good title, Mirrors Within Mirrors, because there is so much to see within ourselves and to see of ourselves. So when I have to take another quick break, and when we come back, I want you to maybe talk about a few of your case studies and people that you've helped over the years.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Looking for a good book? Whether you want the latest bestseller or a rare book, Haslam's Bookstore at 2025 Central Avenue in downtown St. Petersburg is the place to visit. Haslam's has been in business for over 70 years and is the largest new and used bookstore in Florida. With 30,000 square feet and over 300,000 books, you'll find just the right book for you. Bestsellers, cookbooks, military, history, and so much more. Check out their website, www.haslams.com, to find out about their special events. On January 30th, when best-selling author Tim Dorsey will be signing autographs of his latest adventure, Coconut Cowboy. Remember, Haslam's, one of Florida's true treasures, 2025 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg, and they're open on Sundays from noon to 5.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script. Get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
Show me the money.
It's the Employment Opportunity Hour with Gene Hodge, every Thursday night from 7 until 8.
So the purpose of the show is to help you out there to find something that you enjoy doing instead of a job. And at the start of the show, I normally give out a formula, which I know will guarantee you to find the type of job that you want right now.
Find out the formula to an enjoyable job with Gene Hodge's Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday night from 7 until 8 here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guests, Miriam Goodspeed and Ingrid Valliere, who the two of them together have written a book. And I know that it was Miriam who started writing the book about a really interesting and fascinating person. Ingrid has been called the reincarnation expert. And let's talk just a moment, Miriam, about how you came out with the title.
Well, it's because, well, you know, when you put two mirrors, one behind you and one in front of you, and you look into the mirror, you see yourself reproduced over and over again into infinity, and that's what your lives are like. They go on and into infinity, and that's how the cover of our book shows a woman standing in front of a mirror, and she sees these people in it who were her in a previous life.
Well, it is. It's a very nice cover. I like it very much. Now, Ingrid, let's talk of just a few of your case studies that are mentioned in your book, and let's talk first maybe about Gina.
Okay, well, Gina was a woman who had a lot of family issues going on, and she was wondering why she had so many problems in her family. And so we worked through a few things. Prenatal was very interesting. She found out that the father that she thought was her father was not her physical father. That's one area of regression that is very interesting and vital. Sometimes there are family secrets, and they come up in regression through the prenatal. But when the truth is found, something readjusts itself. The truth is always setting you free. It's the lie is causing the problem. So she felt very relieved already by that. Now, one of her past lives was very intriguing, and especially Miriam liked this past life very much because it has been a cult, an occult practice in many temples that young children, ladies, girls were being trained to be dancers for some kind of goddess. And the goddess would then always choose the girl who would become priestess, and then the priestess would at some point sacrifice herself. So Gina's story was that she was very convinced and so honored to be in this temple and serving the goddess. But then came the day when she was supposed to kill herself and sacrifice herself. And she thought that was the greatest thing. But when it actually happened, she was so disappointed because in the afterlife, which is basically unfortunately happening very often, we have been promised so many things in this life that there's going to be a reward by some god or goddess in the afterlife, and that doesn't happen. So she was stuck in the afterlife. She couldn't leave her body. She was very unhappy, and that opened up a whole new era for her. She understood why she was so stuck with some emotional issues. And that freed her a lot. And I think Miriam would like to add, maybe. Could you add about Corey?
Yes. Well, I asked Ingrid, did she mention the name of the goddess? And it's the story of Persephone and her mother Demeter, Persephone would go down into Hades and stay there 6 months of the year, and we would have the winter, and then she would come back, as you know, and then spring and summer and fall would emerge. And instead of saying Persephone, like I expected, she said that Gina said that the goddess's name was Cori. And I said, Cori? She said, yeah, Cori was the original name of the goddess, and it's a very ancient name of a goddess, K-O-R-E, and neither Ingrid nor Gina had ever heard the name before, and it sort of gave me chills because I sort of dabble in mythology and things like that. I'm a writer. Hey, what can I do?
Wow.
So many things a person may say or think of, or even a word may come up in the regression. The person doesn't even know what it means. So, and then you can elaborate and do some research. So that's an interesting part of past lives. Yes,
yeah. It is. It's fascinating, and of course, it takes up whole chapter. And when you've got quite a few case studies here, which are fascinating, and let's maybe talk about Margot and Dieter. What's that?
Okay. Well, Margot and Dieter was a couple. He was an artist and she was an insurance broker. And they had some marital problems, although they were very conscious people, very aware of each other. And In the past life, though, they found that they had been together also, which is, of course, very likely that families or couples have also been together in a past life. Now, depending on the past lives they've lived together, that will stipulate the role and the relationship they have today. So she, in a past life, she once wasted his whole money away because she was going to some kind of mystical group, and she was exploited there, and then he ended the marriage. And there were a few other lifetimes which they had together. Once she became a leader of a certain group, and then she became very heighty and very egotistical, so the group got rid of her. So just working through these things, they just came back down to earth, and they saved their marriage and now have been married ever since in a very harmonious way.
Well, that's I like the idea that I've was in a past life with my husband as well as in the current wonderful life with my husband. It's a nice idea. Now, how many past lives have you had? Or do you have more coming up? I mean, do you know what's going to happen to you? I mean, is it like could a past life come to your mind just on a, you know, in the middle of the day?
Absolutely. Especially when you're open-minded. I like to tell people a past life is like a curtain that opens. It will not close anymore. It will just keep opening. So you do some maybe inner regression work, but your awareness of past life is growing. So you may wonder why you are reacting in a certain way, and then it comes to you because your relationship to past lives is a very open one. And yeah, it can come to me, you know, when I'm very impressed by something, when I think, oh, gee, that's the scenery. I love this scenery. And like just recently, I thought, gee, Florida's oceans and sunrise and sunsets are so beautiful. They must remind me of some Egyptian temple life when you were worshiping the sun. And, you know, things like that come back to you, and then you can elaborate a little bit on them. And I just think it's always adding on to their common knowledge. You don't have to do a regression on every little scenery you get. But yes, they can come anytime, or you meet somebody new. Think, I have a funny feeling about this person, or I think this, I'm very attracted, or I find that person fascinating, or I'm a little uneasy. Then a question that, oh, maybe that person has been my whatever, father, priest, or lover in a past life. And then all of a sudden, when you find the right answer, that issue will dissolve. You know, you're not wondering about it anymore. It just makes sense. You have a factual attitude toward it. And then that was it. You know, it's like dissolving unwanted emotions also.
So you must be excited about doing this workshop here.
Absolutely. Over the years, I've been doing some lectures and workshops, and I'm really looking forward to doing the workshop.
And is it free of charge?
No, there's a charge.
There's a charge. And so people come to, it's going to be at the New Beginnings Oneness Center.
Exactly. And they are hosting it, and there's a charge, I think, of $45, and that's a donation to this center.
To the center.
Yes.
And that's on 210 South Pinellas Avenue in Tarpon Springs.
Yes.
And I will go ahead and give the telephone numbers for anybody who's interested in meeting you and talking about past lives. Should I give this telephone number?
This telephone number is the one from New Beginnings. And they will only be able to host the workshop. Maybe Miriam's telephone number, or maybe...
Do you have a website?
I do.
Yeah, what's your website?
Reincarnationtherapy in German, reincarnationstherapie.eu. But Ingrid Valieris comes up.
Ingrid Valieris. And spell your name so that everybody can.
Okay, Ingrid is I-N-G-R-I-D, Ingrid. And then Valieris, V like Victor, A-L-L-I-E-R-E-S.
Ingrid. Well, I think actually you can just type mirrors within mirrors now, and it's going to pop up right at the top of the thing, and that's an easy thing to do. So type in mirrors within mirrors, and then you don't have to know how to spell anything, and you will be able to get a link there to mirror to the book and to Ingrid. And will you have your book at the workshop?
Absolutely. Everywhere I go and every lecture I'm giving, I will
have
the workshop.
So people can purchase it there.
And Miriam is assisting me whenever she can, and she's also reading some excerpts from it.
And you guys will autograph the book, which will be great. And I want to just say to I only have a few more minutes, but I do want to mention, of course, Miriam, you are writing.
Yes.
The Condo Cops, which is a reality series here, set here in the Tampa Bay area.
Right.
And that must be fun for you.
It is fun. And we are going into our second season. We are starting, we're going to rerun the first season starting on this Saturday at 1 o'clock over WMOR-TV. And it's really exciting. And I'm also with the Florida Film Network. We're having Frank Robertson as our speaker next Tuesday at Studio K in Largo, and I have also done 9 movies now, 9 short movies, and one of the movies, Murder is for the Birds, which was written with Ellen Schnur, won a Best Comedy at one of a Sarasota Film Festival. And our latest one, We Three Witches, premiered last spring at the Gasparilla Film Festival.
What? So you're a pretty busy person, and now it's going to be really nice for you to be able to go around with Ingrid and spread the word about this very interesting book, Mirror Within Mirrors. And I hope you have lots of fun at your workshop, Ingrid. I want to thank you both for coming in today. I think it's a great thing that you're doing to help people, and it's fascinating. So.
Absolutely. And next time you'll be kickboxing, I'm sure you'll think about our topic.
Oh, I absolutely will. I mean, now I have to do research. I have to find out who I was. So I want to thank both of you, Ingrid, Miriam. Thank you so much for coming in. And I also mentioned that, Miriam, you're a member of the professional
BAPWIG, Bay Area Professional Writers Guild.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And I'm proud to be an associate of that. Actually, thinking about past lives, I might have had an encounter with somebody who I knew in a past life, and her name is Bev Malley. And she has opened a really delightful and place. It's called Miami Avenue Wine Bar. And the first time I met her several years ago, I just felt like I knew her forever. And I was very happy to find out that she just opened the Miami Avenue Wine Bar. It's just off of Gulf Boulevard by the post office there in Indian Rocks Beach. It's really delightful if you're looking for a place to go, especially if you've had enough of politics and you're tired of reruns and you need a good drink. I suggest you go to visit Miami Avenue Wine Bar. They have live music on Friday and Saturday nights. It's a wonderful place to just sit around and talk and meet with your friends. You'll have a lot of fun. It's Bev is just one of those cheerful people that you walk in and she makes you feel right at home. And she has fantastic wines, all natural wines, no preservatives. So they're really great and great for you and a fun place for you to go. So I suggest that you try that out, and you two might also try it.
Absolutely.
It sounds good.
I think we all need a drink. there's too much going on in the world. So this is Patsy with a Z, and I just want to thank you both for being here, and I want to wish everyone a great week. Remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, even after 24 years of working on it, or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. So join me next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for Joy on Paper. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it, and have a great week, and take care. Bye.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR.